All right, let's begin with a prayer. Great and holy God, thank you for bringing us here tonight. Thank you for blessing us and watching over us the way you do. Thank you for everything. Help us, Father, to understand how it is that we're to deal with the various issues that we face every day, whether it comes to us in a private way or a public way. We want to be equipped to know how to deal with these issues, that we may give an answer to everyone who may present a question to us about why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do. And for those who actually attack our faith, Father, and attack you and belief in you, who attack your son or your church, may we always have the right spirit, remembering that we are not to take things personally, nor are we simply out to win an argument or to humiliate someone, but we want to save them. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Okay, before we get back into my class for tonight, I want to show you a preview of a movie that I just bought, and I haven't gotten it yet, but let's see here. You can turn it off. Okay, so why isn't it showing up? Just did a few minutes ago. Well, what am I doing wrong?
We had a whole plan to sell the abortion thing. It was called sex education. Break down their natural modesty, separate them from their parents and their values, and become a sex expert in their life, so they turn to us when we would give them a low-dose birth control pill they would get pregnant on or a defective condom. Our goal was 3 to 5 abortions from every girl between the ages of 13 and 18.
The multitudes of people that have been hurt by abortion, it's just unfathomable. That abortion is really, to me, the ultimate exploitation of women.
It is so shameful and secretive that many women don't tell anybody that they've had an abortion. They won't say anything for 20, 30, 40, 55 years. They're so traumatized in silence.
The U.S. Senate report states, physicians, biologists, and other scientists agree that conception marks the beginning of the life of a human being, a being that is alive and is a member of the human species. There is an overwhelming agreement on this point in countless medical, biological, and scientific writings.
Planned Parenthood is expanding now. They're building gigantic abortion clinics in anticipation of socialized medicine.
There's a lot of money involved. We never would take personal checks. We always encouraged the ladies to bring cash.
Why is that?
Well, you don't have to report cash, friend.
When you're fighting for your life, you need to know what you're fighting for. And if what you're fighting for is life, how do you destroy a life in an effort to fight that fight? I'm fighting so hard to save myself that I'll kill someone else to get that.
I recognized I'd been involved in the death of 35,000 babies.
And the truth has really come out about what abortion does to women, let alone the unborn baby, our dead babies. It will be over.
Okay, you can turn the lights back on. Okay. I just ordered that DVD or that movie today, so I'm not sure when I'll get it. And I'm not sure if I'll show it here in class or at a separate time or not, but I watched a 17-minute segment of it, and wow, it's pretty powerful. And I would encourage every Christian to see it. I think you really need to see it. Okay, let's review where we've been with this class. We're talking about talking with atheists and evolutionists. And I believe, you know, we need to have tools, we need to have skills and knowledge, we need to know what we're doing as we talk with people, or as people talk to us, or as we hear things on the news, or whatever it might be. Okay, we've looked at 1 Peter 3:15, let's look at it again. And there Peter said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense." Some of you might have answer. "To everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Right? So this is something that God expects us to do. All right? We need to know why we believe. And we need to be able to explain it to people. And I think, right along with that, is we need to explain, we need to know why we don't believe in some other things. Why is it that we don't accept, I'll say for me, I don't know about you, but I'm assuming you're going to be on the same page, but why is it that I don't accept evolution? I don't believe what is known as macroevolution, or the general theory of evolution, happened. You know, once kind of animal turn into another and so on. I need to be able to tell people why I don't believe that. Okay? So that's what we're doing here in this class. Without trying to get too technical, because I know that we can get so technical and, you know, get filled with so many facts and stuff that we can get lost in it. So what I'm just trying to give you here, I think, are the basic tools. If you can get these things nailed down, then you'll know where to go from there. Okay, so the Bible does deal with atheism. I showed you these passages, but we didn't read them. But it does show that God understands that there's people who deny that he exists. Okay, and then of course, especially in the Old Testament, there's some in the New, but especially in the Old, you have God, the God of Israel versus false gods. And really, to me, that is, in a sense, atheism, at least when it comes to the God of Israel. Someone may say, "Well, I believe in some other God, but I don't believe in your God." Okay, that is, biblically speaking, then atheism, at least as far as the God of the Bible is concerned, okay? And then the Bible also deals with creation, you know, and how many other passages could I give you? I mean, you know, the first two chapters and Psalm 33, verses 6 to 9. Now, let's read that passage. I think it's one of the most magnificent declarations of creation and God's, a declaration of God's creative power. Maybe that's the best way to say it. Listen to this. "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So in other words, everything that we see is here by divine fiat. He said for it to be, and it is. Just that simple. All right? Now, what I think will help us is to have these filters. You know, what is a filter? Just tell me what any kind of a filter is. Oil filter, an air filter. What was that? Yeah, okay, you're putting something through it, and so things need to be separated, the bad from the good, all right? So that's what we're doing here. When you, in particular, are hearing the news, it has to go through a filter, because some of what you hear is true and good, and some of it isn't. All right? And here's what I suggest as the as some filters. Was everyone here last week, or does someone need a handout? Can you pass that down to Christina? I guess, yeah, that's just sort of the handout. Okay, yes. Yeah. Okay, so when you hear something, and I say the news, but it can just be from anyone. Oh, who? Donna. Okay, sorry. You know, is it logical? Is it illogical? Does it make sense? Does A truly lead to B? Why are they saying that that this means this? Because some expert said it? You know what I mean? Why? There's a lot of assumptions or presuppositions that are made when you listen to the news, especially dealing with the subject of evolution or of life outside of planet Earth and things like that. And you really need to listen carefully to that. You know, is it unscientific? What you know about science, does it fit with it? And of course, same thing with the Bible. Does it jive with the Bible? And why is that important? I mean, to me, that's the big one. The third one there. Christine? Well, Christina?
It's what we base everything on, our teaching from the teacher.
Yeah.
So if what's being taught or said on the news, if it's not biblically sound, then we shouldn't.
Okay. And in my opinion, I think all three of those work together, logic, science, and the Bible. I don't see any conflict with them. Now, just because someone says something's logical or someone says something's scientific or someone says something's biblical doesn't mean that it is. I mean, it truly has to be. In preaching school, I had to take a logic class. If you want to go through a lot of pain, and if you want to get your head all twisted up and then straightened out again, take a logic class. Oh, my goodness. What they call formal logic. And then they get you into symbolic logic. And oh, my goodness. My wife didn't like me very much when I would come home and she'd come home from work, I'd come home from school, and she'd say something. I'd say, you know, here's what's wrong with what you're saying. You know, here's why that's fallacious or whatever. Anyways, you know, and the text that we used was not a biblical textbook on logic. It was one that you find in the universities. Okay? In fact, my daughter Melissa, the logic book she used at the University of Oregon, same one that we use in preaching school. Okay? So it's, and I never found out, you know, by looking at these laws of logic, did it contradict the Bible, or did the Bible contradict it, or did the Bible look silly? No. And I think the same thing about science as well. Okay, I know I already talked about that. I'm going too long in my review here. So you don't need to remember all the facts and all the details. I mean, that's just impossible unless you're one of these people who's really into it all the time. Dave.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between liberal thinking
I don't know how to answer that question, because to me that's like asking, is there a difference between liberal biblical thinking and conservative biblical thinking? I understand that some, there will be people who have a more liberal mindset who will come to the scriptures and try and present reasoning, and those who have the conservative viewpoint as well. But to me, logic is logic, science is science, and Bible is Bible, whether you're liberal or conservative. It's our interpretation of it where the problem comes up. You know, like, for example, like with the geologic layers. And this is aside from the Bible and aside from logic. You know, we all see them. You drive down the road, you go through the mountains where they've had to cut through, and there's obviously all these water-laid layers, which all the scientists who are based in evolution will agree. This stuff was all laid down by water. Now, the interpretation is, was this done over many different ages, over millions of years, or was it done at all one time? And I think that's, well, going back to that previous screen, that's where I think the Bible comes in. I think, for the most part, you're looking at something that happened all at once. Now, it's going to be different in some locations and so on, where maybe there's smaller floods, but I think Noah's worldwide flood comes into play on so many different issues that we deal with. So, maybe, Dave, I would say the liberal use or interpretation of logic is different than the conservative. For the most part, liberals don't want to use logic, and they don't, because it bites them. You know, if you go through a certain proper process, it's going to step on your toes big time. And if you've determined that you don't want to believe something, and logic shows that you should be believing it, what are you going to do? You know, so really a lot of this, I've talked a lot with this about, with my friend Steve. So much of this is not an intellectual issue. It's an issue of the heart or of the spirit more than it is of the mind. Now, the mind comes into it, but maybe I should use the word will. It's more a matter of the will than of the mind. Do you all follow what I'm saying? The difference between the two? In other words, I will not believe such and such, or I will believe such and such, regardless of what anything else says. I mean, have you heard someone say, even religious people say, I don't care what this book says, I just know what I feel in my heart. You know, well, you can deal with reason and logic and scriptures, and you're not going to change that person. And I'm not even talking about issues of atheism and evolution there. I'm talking about religious matters. Okay, so atheism and evolution are tied together, and that's because most arguments for and against God's existence will deal with nature in some way. You know, how do we get here? Remember, there's only two options, or at least I believe there's only two options. What are those two options? That's number one. Evolution. Or evolution. It has to, there's only those two options. Okay. We dealt with that. One option excludes God. The other option requires God. Oh, here's where we left off. Okay, right on this screen here. Dave.
I was going to say about Darwin, his theory of evolution, that's what it was a theory. He never proved evolution. He wrote about it, studied about it, but he never proved evolution as a fact. But over the period of years, as through liberal thinking, it has turned around for Darwin's evolution, or theory, is fact.
Oh, yeah, they don't talk about the theory of evolution anymore.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That has been wiped away. It's no longer go back to the base and say he talked about it as a theory.
Right.
And for somewhere or other, they parted it into facts.
Right, exactly.
With nothing to work on.
Yeah, I've heard them say the fact of evolution is not in question because we're here. So, in other words, they've already ruled out, well, going back to that previous screen, they've already ruled out one of those options, that is creation by a creator. That's out. We're here. Therefore, evolution happened, period. No question about it. And just how did it do it that's in question? That's what they will now say. Scott or Rick, was that you? Oh, I stole your thunder, brother?
You could also say the same thing about the Bible, though. This is the way it happened. That's, we're here. This right here.
Right. Right, and see, and here's where, you know, science is great. Every single person sitting here tonight has benefited from science. But in order for something to be scientific, it has to be observable and repeatable. And what happened in the beginning is not repeatable, and no one human was there to observe it. So the only thing we can do is look at the evidence and then go from there. Okay, now, remember I told you last week that nature, just looking at it, says there's a God. And I told you that there's something about nature, and even some evolutionists are troubled about this. It looks like the earth was designed for somebody to live here, like us. Remember I told you that? And I said there's a name for it. And I said, I'll probably remember it at 3 o'clock this morning, meaning Thursday morning last week. And then I'll start calling you and let you know what it was. And you're not going to believe this. I know you're not going to believe this. But I woke up at 2:48 and I said, the Anthropic principle. Why couldn't I remember that before? But I didn't call any of you. I should have done that. All right, the Anthropic principle, and I want to take a closer look at that when we're done with this class here. You've heard of anthropology. What is anthropology? Does anyone know? Dave?
I know.
Oh, okay. What was that? The study of man, mankind. Anthropos is the Greek word for man or mankind. It's not the word for male. So anthropology is the study of man. Well, the Anthropic principle, you can see there's the idea of man in there. The principle that teaches this universe, the solar system, and this earth to somehow look like it was intended for us to be here. And the one thing I mentioned to you last week was, isn't it a coincidence? I didn't use that word, but I'm going to use that now accommodatively or almost sarcastically. Isn't it a coincidence that here we are, these humans that need to consume certain types of fuel, and this earth is just flowing over with it? Isn't that an amazing accident that it just happened that way, Dave?
You talked a minute ago about the original creation. In a sense, that has come right down through the ages, through the fact that man can procreate through repetition, through creation of his own.
Right.
And that, if you stop and look at that, if you think about that, that within itself goes along with the Aristotelian thinking that that's almost proof within itself that there's a creator behind us, because that was it's a self-repeating thing.
Yeah. Yeah, what I want to eventually do is on the church's website, I want to have a page on there where I'm not really sure what to call it except for maybe the Anthropic principle. But I want to just start listing all the things that have to be in place for life to be here. All the way from cosmic things to little, you know, subatomic things. You know, like the sun. Well, you know, we couldn't live here if the sun was 20 million miles further away or 20 million miles closer. It has to be at the right distance. The tilt of the earth. How water is composed and how we use it. You can just go on and on with, it's not just like one or two things that make it possible for there to be life here. I mean, there's so much that we need to have life. For example, okay, you know that I had a blood clot exactly a year ago, and now I'm on Coumadin, or Warfarin, is that how you say it? Well, I was talking with a doctor friend of mine many years ago, long, I think before I ever had a blood clot. And, well, he spoke here, Kevin Sellers. He spoke here on one of our seminars years ago. And he was talking to me about homeostasis, how the body seeks to strike a balance. And my doctor that I had in Klamath Falls told me that, and I know I'm not going to use the right terminology because Kevin says, no, you're not saying it right. Okay, well, tell me how to say it then. And he never did. But anyways, as your blood goes through your body, and it's in the bigger veins and arteries. Yeah, do any of you have any of that big? You know, in the bigger ones, and then it goes down to the little capillaries where there's just one cell. And I'm going to use the terminology my doctor used in Klamath Falls. He says the blood thickens and thins in order for it to work properly, in order for it to flow properly. Now, if it didn't have that little mechanism inside it, we couldn't survive. We'd be dead. What Dave was talking about concerning procreation, isn't it just a coincidence how there happened to be male and female? What about the first kind of creature, whatever it was, and it's only a female or it's only a male? Or it's asexual and doesn't need male or female. It can just reproduce on its own. Why then would it later get a male and a female that from the beginning had to be perfectly compatible sexually? You follow what I'm saying? There's just a million, I mean literally a million of those things that I think show there is a God. Something beyond this realm created the earth and put everything on it, including us, for a reason. Wayne?
There's a scientific law, the law of biogenesis.
Yes.
And it says that life comes from life and the same type of life.
That's exactly right.
That's a scientific law.
Yeah. You only get carrots from
carrots.
You know, you can't get any other way. That's all there is to it. Okay, now the second one, the Bible. God has manifested himself not only through nature, which some people would call general revelation, but also through the Bible, which is special revelation. Because, I mean, nowhere in creation can I lift up a rock or look at a tree and it says there is a God in our language. Okay, in fact, look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19 will even make that point. It's pretty strong, and it makes you think that it's speaking to you, but there's another form of manifestation from God that speaks even more direct, okay? Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Now watch this. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language, where their voice is not heard. All right, so the idea is, well, yeah, it's speaking, and yet not like how the Bible does. That's speaking to us in language. Language that we can understand, okay? But why would we take the Bible as a manifestation that there is a God, or as a demonstration or proof that there is a God? Dave? Oh, you know, I didn't come back to you earlier. Sorry.
I was going to add something that you said about there's only life comes to life. But there's only one hybrid that I can really think of, and that's mules and donkeys and horses. A donkey and a horse produces a mule. But the Lord would look for it. He won't let them produce.
Right.
It stops right there.
Right.
You have one procreation, then that stops.
Right.
I would imagine that same law, in a certain sense, pertains to humans. I don't know that. That's assumption. You get a hybrid, of some type of hybrid.
Yeah. And I don't know what humans could ever mate with other than other humans, but if it were possible, like you're saying, it would just be one generation, then it stops. That's it. It doesn't go any further. Gene?
Flat ground, if you have a hybrid, you save a seed and plant it time after time after
right.
time, it will eventually go back to what it was.
That's right. It'll revert back to the original plant. Exactly. That's right. Very interesting, isn't it? So why do you accept this as a message from God? Now, you're not down the street tonight on the right where they take this and another book called the Book of Mormon and another book called The Pearl of Great Price and another book called Doctrines and Covenants. Why? Why are you here tonight with this book alone? And why is it so important? I mean, you're here and you're not home watching TV. You're here tonight because you think this is important for some reason. Well, why? Why do you think this is from God, Karen? Well, okay, you're kind of taking it to the next step, that since you believe this is true, and then when it shows us about Jesus, you know, you accept that. But why do you accept that this is telling you the truth about Jesus of Nazareth in the first place? Okay, well, but there's other scripture, and I'll use that word in loosely. Scripture just meaning writing. There's other scripture that's old. In fact, some that's even older than the New Testament. Not like the Quran is not older than the New Testament, but it's about 600 years after the fact. So it's been around for 1,400, 1,500 years. So it can't be just that it's ancient. But I think you're dancing a little bit on the subject there somewhat. Scott and then Rick. Pardon? Oh, Andrea. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, a lot of the stuff in the Bible is true. It became true. There's proof, burden of proof.
All right.
That Jesus did live, but the Romans recorded it. And a lot of it's true. They're trying to disprove. We're finding out that cities were lost. Now we're finding them.
Okay. So what you're telling me is that in time, whatever this book has declared to be the truth, we can demonstrate it not only within itself, but also outside of it. I mean, for example, I don't know if you had the Hittites in mind or not, but for centuries, I don't think it was until the 19th century did we have any archaeological evidence that there was a Hittite empire. But the Bible spoke about it. And then all of a sudden, archaeologists discover, oh yeah, there was a Hittite empire. In fact, it was a big empire. And there the Bible is right again. You can multiply things like that. So, for me, what I do is for these two things, they harmonize. They jive with one another, okay? Okay, we're here in nature. We see how nature works. But if the Bible was not from God, there'd be problems. It would not work together. I'm having a Bible study with Donna and Earl and a couple of friends of theirs. They've met by their house. And that's one of the things that I argued with them is that we see how nature works, and then there's the Bible, and this says, here's how things ought to work, and if you want to be successful and have a good life, da-da-da-da-da, here's what you do, and it just works perfectly with our world. There's no conflict there. Now, when I use the word world, I mean nature and just things how they are, not necessarily worldliness, okay? You know how we use that word world more than one way. Okay, so the two blend together perfectly. What this book says about nature is just true. So that's convinced me, among many other reasons, that this is from God. You know, there's a connection between the two. And I've also reasoned like this. I don't know if you have or not, but I've reasoned, okay, it's way too obvious that there's a God. It's just way too obvious by looking at nature. If he has gone through the work to do all that he's done for us here on the earth, would he just leave us hanging and not say hello? You know, here I am. Here's some further instruction on how to live. Well, to me, it makes sense that he would do that. And that's where the Bible just fits into that perfectly. Okay, now the third one, which I believe is the ultimate manifestation of God's existence, is the life of Jesus Christ. As far as I know, when you look at it, there's only one of three ways to explain Jesus. Liar, lunatic, or Lord. But liars, if they're... I mean, why does someone lie? I mean, it bases his whole life on a lie. Why would someone do that? That's right. So somehow there's a self-motivated thing there. It's about me, somehow. And I will use you, I will trick you, I will deceive you, or whatever. And do you see that in Jesus at all? I don't see it anywhere in there. So you have to eliminate that. What about being a lunatic? And, you know, even going back to the first one, would liars go all the way and suffer on the cross the way he did? You know, I don't think so. When he's on the cross, look how he's dying. He's not cursing anybody. He's blessing everyone, even the people who are killing him. Dave?
You know what you're saying? I think you're making a great point. In stating that Christ was sort of the basis of all truth, well, he was not sort of, he was. But the fact is, if we look at our society today, and I'm afraid to ask the person on the street what time he's going to lie about it.
Okay. All right.
Just because it's probably the truth that was better. But what I'm saying, as we've got farther into society, Christ and God has been taken out of their lives. And that was kind of a moral thing when I was growing up.
Right.
Everybody, if a guy woke up and said, I'll do this, or woke up to you and said, I'll do this, and shook hands, that was as good as you signed a paper.
Right. Right.
I want to be a little careful what hands you grab with you.
Right.
And that kind of an operation I'll forgive you today.
Yeah. Okay, so... You know, is he a truth speaker or is he a falsehood speaker, you know, a lie speaker? That somehow doesn't sound right. And for me, I have found him to be a truth speaker. Was he a lunatic?
Oh, you're talking about Christ.
Jesus, yeah. Was he a lunatic?
No liar there.
Yeah, no liar at all, yeah. Why would you say, I mean, maybe someone just says, well, you know that Jesus, he's just beside himself. In fact, some people said that he was. Do you remember who some of those people were? There were some people in the New Testament who said, he's beside himself. Have you ever thought about that expression, beside himself? It's kind of like you've emptied yourself out of your body, now you're standing outside of your body, you're standing beside yourself. His own family. What's wrong with him? He's beside himself. So they tried to rescue him from the crowds because they thought it was going to his head. And he thinks he's the Messiah. But then, later, at least two of his brothers become leaders in the church, and God used them to write two books of the New Testament, Jude and James. Okay, so really when it comes down to it, he has to be the Lord. He has to be God in the flesh himself. There's no way to explain the life of Jesus Christ except to acknowledge his deity. So I would keep those three things in mind. And on this third one here, When we get done looking at the anthropic principle, I want to talk a little bit more about how Jesus is a manifestation of God. And atheists and evolutionists don't like to hear that. In fact, I've seen some letters in our local paper where people have said, "Don't tell me about Jesus. I've got tired of hearing that about him being God in the flesh." And I'm thinking, well, the reason they're tired of hearing that is because it's just too obvious. I mean, if God were to leave heaven and come down here and walk among us, how would he live other than the way that Jesus lived? You know, think about my class on Sunday morning. You know, the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. I mean, they're all showing us if that very thing. If God's going to leave heaven and come live down here, what's he going to look like? How's he going to act? And Jesus Christ is a perfect example of that, okay? Now, secularists, to them, nature only demonstrates evolution. They don't believe in Bible or the fact that Jesus is divine. They don't believe the Bible is divine either. Now, many of them are even denying that Jesus ever existed. Many of them never used to deny that. They would accept the fact, well, yes, he existed, but while he may have had some good teachings, he wasn't who you think he was. All right, now they're starting to deny him. And I attended this debate in November 1980, in Denton, Texas, between Brother Thomas B. Warren and this other man, Joe Barnhart. And when Steve and I heard this debate and this Joe Barnhart debating, we were shocked by one of the things he said. In fact, everybody in the audience was shocked by what he said. And here it is. And this is just, I took this right out of the book itself. He says, "I don't even think Jesus of Nazareth existed." And you can hear like shock all through the audience of both secularists and Christians who were there that night. "I used to be a Christian," he says, "even believed in baptism as essential to salvation." And he went on to say he took Greek in one of our colleges. So it was eventually revealed that he used to be a member of the church. And now he says Jesus never existed. So we'll stop there.
What year was this?
1980.